Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Rub for McDonald's McCafe.
Triple M rocks footy.
Naismith slaps it down. Kick it, goal. Brandby gets it. Marks taken on the goal line. It's going to be a Sydney win. Gary Rowan has got it. Impossible to miss. They have stolen this game, Sydney.
Yeah, I mean, there's not too often you go through games like that. You need a little bit of luck, obviously, when things are that tight, and if they got some things right in the last few minutes, we've done it before and haven't got it right, and they certainly got it right tonight.
15 seconds to go. Right foot ball towards centre wing. Mark should be taken by Garner. Wants to get it moving. Got it moving too quickly. His handball was knocked down. The Dogs through Johannes and handball towards Delhaus. The Dogs are going to win it. They're going to hang on, the Dogs. What a game of footy.
Pretty relieved, actually. It's been a trying couple of weeks.
Pulls it back to the goal square. Big pack off the hands of that pack. In the goal square, Melbourne have got it. Dragged down.
He's got it!
McDonald's kicked the goal.
Inside attack in 50. Melbourne with the numbers. The drought is over. The demon drought has ended at Domain Stadium.
It's terrific for the footy club. I think it's great for our supporters to see a team that continues to find a way at the end of the game.
How good is the footy? Welcome to the Sunday Rub. Luke Darcy on fire Friday night, Nathan Brown Saturday night, and then Dennis and Lockie Reid. Lockie Reid, by the way, a big Melbourne man, impartial, but enjoyed that Melbourne victory. An incredible weekend of footy. How good is the footy? Massive lineup coming your way today. Matty Suckling from the Western Bulldogs, Ollie Wines from the Port Adelaide Footy Club. Roosie's got a really nice story. Jumping Johnny Barker from Carlton. The quiz, Justin Lepic, or as a friend of mine used to call him, Justin Lepitisic from the Richmond Football Club. Jack Viney as well. There is a lot to get through, but our wonderful audience joining us on a Sunday, we've got a bit of an issue in here at Triple M. Nathan Brown will be joining us shortly, but I look around the room and there's two very big holes. I don't know if the Kangaroos had an unauthorised premiership reunion last night, but Jay-Z and Paul Roos, no Wayne Carey, no Wayne Schwash. I look for inspiration. I look at you, Jay-Z. I think you're not the man for me. I look around for Roosie. Roosie, we are two men down today, and I look to you as the super coach to dig us out of a hole.
Disappointing. Complacency setting in. That's the thing that worries me today, boys. Carey. Is he dining out on his footy career? Swass. I know he's won premierships. I know he won the best and fairest at Sydney. He's not here. Jay-Z goes to Terrelgan Friday night with a mate, has a few drinks, gets up at 6:30, comes in dishevelled. Howie walks in about 10 minutes to one, normally the first one here. Complacency. 2:05. How easy would it have been for Jude Bolton to say, Chris Judd's too good for me? How easy would it have been for Brett Kirk to say, Ben Cousins, I can't take him on. Ben Matthews, Kerr, I can't play on him, Roosie. It's easy to do. Oh, no, it's going to be an honourable loss. We'll go out. Fans haven't seen us win for 72 years. We'll just wander out, get beaten by five. No one rates us. That's easy to do. That's it. They dug deep. How easy would it have been? Luke Ablett, I'm looking down the pocket now. He squares the ball up. Ben Cousins marks it in the goal square. Kicks a goal. Did we roll over? No. We fought and we won. That's what we're going to do today, Jay-Z. Howie, look me in the eye.
I'm ready, Roosie.
Are we on or not?
We're on, mate.
Let's go.
Oh, boy. Gee, Roosie. Yeah, that was unscripted, not pre-recorded. Why we didn't run a video over that, I do never know. The only question I've got for you, Roosie, how did any team you ever coach lose a game? Extraordinary. Jay-Z, we need to really come out firing after that. Beautifully done, Roosie. We touched on your Terrelgan effort. I grew up down that way. You would have been, well, about two arm sleeves less of tattoos required to fit in that part of the world.
Yeah, some colourful characters out there in Gippsland Way. Got away with a few of the mates. Saw Grinspoon, their first concert of a national tour. Really wound back the clock. How he was outstanding. Got the black T-shirt on. A few old rock anthems. They were outstanding.
What was the venue? That used to be the Astrodome up there in his day.
The Inferno.
The Inferno.
It was called. So it was good. A couple of drinks. Watched the footy on replay, of course. And what a weekend it has been, honestly. Last night's results, just again, this season continues to take so many turns, doesn't it? Who's going to win the flag? Absolutely no bloody idea, but it's been enjoyable to watch.
I tell you, when we signed Roosie, I was like, oh, you know, he's pretty cool. He was always nice to deal with. And I thought he'd been operating at about a 6 out of 10 for the season to date. But I've seen now what we've got ahead of us coming to finals. Good afternoon to you, Paul Roos. Wonderful pre-gamer and straight off the golf course, I'm led to believe.
Yeah, had a little hit around this morning at Elsternwick, little 9 holes, and took the chocolate. So it's nice. That's why I'm up and about a bit. So I got my first win for the day and had a pretty solid round of 36-5 over the card.
Right.
Yeah, playing reasonable golf. No, it's only a little short course. I don't overrate my performance. At Royal Melbourne, it's probably a 45 to 50. But, no, good morning. And as you said, I mean, what an unbelievable season. Unbelievable results. We've gone from the Swannies, Essendon. Last night I did the Kangas Bulldogs game, which was unbelievable. Kept an eye on my phone on the Demons, tried to check the stats. Tammy was texting me the scores. Yeah, it's been an incredible season. And it's a pleasure to actually be able to come to the games on the weekend. I reckon there was the last time I did the media was sort of in the midst of the Gold Coast and the Giants. And a lot of those games you tend to look at and you go, oh, gee, do I really want to do that game? It'd be 10, 12, 14 goals of difference, you know, half-time, three-quarter time. There's not a game you go to now and you're not actually excited about what might take place. So it's fantastic.
In Elsternwick Park, I talked to beautiful Mrs. Howie on our first date to Elsternwick Park for a little game of golf.
Wow!
You know, you stand on the first tee and you say, this is the way you do it. You put your arms around and hold the one wood, Roosie.
Jeez,
and we're still together now. So
it holds many
fond memories. All right, the Demons. As I said to both you guys when I came in this morning, I love watching. I said to you a couple of weeks ago, not only are they playing well now, but they're an exciting footy club to watch. They're a bums-on-seat style operation now, and people are starting to talk finals and beyond finals. We're talking deep in finals, JJ.
Yeah, that's the big thing for me. You wonder what this Melbourne team can achieve, because what they've been able to do and the boxes they've been able to tick without some key players, you know, again, last night it was no Jones, no Watts. They've been doing it without Hogan and Maxi Gorn as well, Roosie, but they're playing with such spirit. I mean, yeah. Jack Finney last night, we're going to talk about him later, had half his shoulder hanging off in the third quarter, gets a jab, comes out in that last quarter and was absolutely fantastic. And so the question now is, Roosie, like, you know, with a top four berth in spot, can this Melbourne team, who has come out of the darkest decade in football, could they potentially go all the way in 2017?
It's hard to make predictions this year, isn't it? I think what you try to do is look at trends, and the trend for Melbourne is very good. And what we talk about footy clubs is the brand. You know, what brand of football do you really want to play? When your fans come and watch you play, what do they expect? And I think that's the thing now that Melbourne fans go, and they know what their brand is going to be, and it's more consistent now, you know, as they're getting older and as they're getting more experience. The other thing that we talked about before we went on the show, don't underestimate the influence of Todd. We're talking to Jack later on. Don't underestimate the influence of Todd Viney, Jason Taylor. And the fact that at this stage, now things can change, the fact that at this stage, you know, they don't really have a huge paid player. So you're able to get some depth in your list. The depth of talent in their list is similar to the Bulldogs last year. Bulldogs were able to cover for some injuries last year. So the depth of talent due to what Todd's done and what Jason's done, and obviously there's a collective of, you know, a lot of people over the last 3 or 4 years changing that list, but the depth of talent is there.
So who are you talking about there?
In terms of pure talent?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you look at, I mean, you lose Max Gorn, you know, who's a super ruckman. You go to Jake Spencer, you know. So, look, and with all due respect to Jake, he's not as good as Max, but you see there wasn't a huge drop-off. Jake Spencer gets injured. Cam Pedersen comes in, who's a 29-year-old, you know, guy that's kicked 4 or 5 goals in a game, you know, before. So he comes in. All of a sudden, Billy Stretch comes in last night. Now, he's a young player, but he's a talented player. You know, he's played some senior footy now. He's played some very good senior footy early in the season. If I look at their Casey team, Sam Wiedemann's kicked 6 for Casey. Kent has had 35, I think. Jay Kennedy Harris is another 37. Jack Trengove's playing seconds. So the depth of talent there is fantastic. So from sort of 18, it'd be so hard for Goody and the match committee to pick a team now, because the depth of talent from that 18 to 28 to 30 is not dramatically different. Alex Neil-Bullen's been terrific. He's come into the side, really cemented his spot. Buggy's been terrific. So suddenly when you're looking at Melbourne Footy Club, A, the brand is really strong. It's more consistent now, and you know what you're going to get when you come and watch a Melbourne game. Jack Viney typifies, but it'd be unfair to other players in that team, yeah, to single Jack out. Jack's been doing it now for 4, 5, 6 years, but there's other guys. Jordan Lewis comes into that team experience. Hibbard, it's been unbelievable. Melsham's starting to find his feet again. Mitch Hannon's been a really good.
Yep.
So suddenly you've got 4 or 5 experienced players added to that young talent. So love the balance of the team. Love what Goody's done. But the list management's been fantastic over the last 3 or 4 years.
And I think at the start of the year, we sort of questioned the Jack Viney co-captaincy decision. I mean, that was sort of a bit of a left-field one for most people. Last night was one of the more inspirational performances, really, of the year, Howie. I mean, with that bung shoulder, we're going to speak to him later.
2:45, we'll speak to Jack Viney.
Probably couldn't feel his shoulder, but the ferocity and intensity with which he attacked the contest. And yes, they were 15 points down, so Lewis Jetta has that set shot. Really could have iced it at that moment. Could have put him 21 points up, but they hung in the contest, Melbourne. It's because of people like Viney.
Yep.
You know, it's arguably one of their best wins in years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, the other thing, unfortunately, I saw a good game at between the Kangas and the Bulldogs, but I didn't get to see a lot of the game. But if you look at the statistics and the evenness, I think Dom Tyson had 33. You know, so Dom comes in. Salem got injured, but he's been terrific. So the evenness of their performances, and I mean, Tommy McDonald kicks 5 goals. Tommy McDonald, sort of last year, the year before, looked like he was going to be an All-Australian
defender.
Yeah. Suddenly, Sam Frost comes into that team. He's another one I haven't mentioned.
Yep.
Sam Frost comes into that team on the back of depth. Oscar McDonald's playing. So suddenly, he can push Tom McDonald forward. Watts, he's out. Gawn comes back in. McDonald kicks 5 goals. Mm. So, it's fantastic to see and good teams, and this is where I'm really excited about Melbourne at the moment, good teams have the ability for one man down, one man comes in, takes that position, maybe plays slightly differently, but still delivers in whatever that position is. And that's what you see with the Demons.
The story, and I'm not going to call it an incident because I don't reckon it was an incident, the story to come out of the game, apart from the amazing win by the Demons, was Clayton Oliver set up for us, Jay-Z, for those that haven't seen it, because I'm not going as far as saying it was an incident.
Yeah, it was a bit of a scuffle, I guess. And what happened is West Coast defender Will Schofield just sort of caught him with a forearm jab, but he made contact from his elbow to Clayton Oliver's chin. Now, it was only a glancing blow, Howie, and a lot of people on social media have been calling him a stager and a diver because he did sort of buckle at the knees and drop to the ground. But my strong view is that when you do get that contact to the chin, it can rattle you, it can startle you and stun you. And Clayton Oliver said as much after the game, speaking to the boys from Channel 7.
No, I was just sort of hit him on the chest and I wasn't really expecting it. Sort of just clipped me and sort of just rocked me a little bit. Just sort of fell back, wasn't really ready for it. And yeah, I guess just wasn't ready for it. So I don't want to look like, obviously, a fake or anything like that. So yeah, just sort of just rocked me and just sort of wasn't ready for it.
So we saw the Alex Rance incident last week where he buckled at the knees as well in that push and shove with Buddy. Now, in this instant, I sort of think the criticism has been a bit harsh because as a 19-year-old kid, if you cop an unsuspecting blow to the chin, then it's going to shock you a little bit.
Yeah, look, I've only just briefly seen it, so it's pretty hard for me to comment. But what I would say is sometimes you watch a boxing match and you look at a little, what seems to be an innocuous sort of clip under the chin or to the temple or whatever it might be, and you have to rewind a couple of times. A boxer goes down, you go, gee, that didn't look much. The glass jaw scenario. So again, I've only seen it just out of the corner of my eye as we're sitting here, so I'm not really qualified to talk. But what I can say is what Clayton said after the game, which probably doesn't look good for the bloke that hit him because he's basically saying he hit me on the chin.
Yeah.
It is entirely possible. So look, as I said, it's unfair, Howie, for me to comment specifically because I didn't really get a good look at it.
I think what you said, there's a bloke playing football that's got clipped on the jaw and gone to the ground. He's not expecting to get a whack on the chops, however hard it was. For people to be having a go at him for staging, I reckon, this situation, he's way, way, way
Can I have another angle at it? I'll tell you, are we all sick of seeing these jumper punches and elbows and
cheap shots?
Why do it?
Yeah.
I mean, why are we talking about Clayton Oliver?
Why do it? Because you can get away with it.
Why we shouldn't be talking, what are we now, going into round 13, 14, why are we still talking about guys that are prepared to do, it was on, was it on halftime? So yeah. The siren had gone. Why are you putting yourself in that position to do it? I absolutely staggered about why players are still doing it.
And to me, Clayton Oliver, it shows enormous bravery every contest. Yep. I mean, he's a guy in his second year who plays yep. with enormous courage around the ball. So he's got plenty of credits in the bank.
And also well done to Ryan Larnican and the Melbourne Media Department for putting Clayton Oliver up, because I'm always big on this, Roosie. If they don't put him up, this is a story tomorrow and
agree.
The next day and the next
100%,
day. It's yeah. done. The story's yeah, done. Agree. He's answered. There's a free kick, goes to Hunter, gives it to Suckley from outside 50. He's got a long boot, he's got a deep boot, he's got an accurate boot. Suckley from way downtown. That's what he does, Matty Suckley. Welcome back to the Sunday Rub. Mark Howard with you. Nathan Brown, not too far away. Jay Clark, Paul Roos. Very happy to have this man on the show. Two-time premiership player and looking for one at the Bulldogs now, Matty Suckley. G'day, Matty. Thanks for joining us.
G'day, guys. No worries. Thanks for having me.
Oh, how are you this morning, mate? The morning after the night before, a one-point win. I think you'd be very, very happy down there to take the 4 points. Congratulations, Matty.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was obviously a bit of a heart stopper last night. And yeah, I'd be lying if I didn't say I had a couple of glasses of wine to try and put myself to sleep last night after that. Yeah, it was well-deserved by the boys.
Yeah, it was a good, great game. I was there live, Matty. Terrific win. I thought it was really fascinating, and to the coaching staff's credit, they just seemed to simplify the game a little bit for you guys. I mean, your six forwards in front of the ball most of the night at clearances. You were able to sort of dump kick it a little bit more with good representation in your forward line because you're generally six on six. North did a similar thing, so it's quite a strange tactical game. But was it something you guys just talked about as really getting back to the basics of footy, winning clearances, winning contested ball, getting the ball in nice and quick?
Yeah, I think a lot of teams will throw numbers around this year, as you've probably seen. And last night, we just went with six forwards most of the night. And that gives the midfielders confidence just so they can just do their thing and hunt in. And they don't have to worry about really where it goes after that. They can just sort of surge it forward. And from there, just try and get it to the ground, especially with their defenders, and try and put as much pressure on and play the territory game, I suppose.
Yeah, it certainly looked obvious, and it was interesting that, I mean, the Kangas did the same, so they didn't, normally a Kangaroos team might have a sort of Tarrant dropping off or a Thompson dropping off. So was that sort of spoken about even more at quarter time, saying, guys, we can go in quick, because they actually didn't have a player dropping off at all, and they tended to go really one-on-one with your forwards also?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they've been so good at their intercept marks, and they rebound from there so well. And once we realised that, we just knew we'd just get it in there. And blokes like Stringer, and I thought Mitch Honeychurch and Dalhouse and that down there were pretty special last night.
Yeah, I thought Mitch Honeychurch was fantastic. And, I mean, Jakey Stringer had the ability to bring the ball, but I thought your ground-level players were really, really significant. The only thing Mitch didn't do was probably kick his goals. But that was a real significant difference, is your ground-level players, I thought, were fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's something we sort of pride ourselves on in the last couple of weeks, probably being beaten in stuff like that, and so that was definitely a focus, and it was good to see it come out in our game straight away.
Mate, there's been a lot of talk around close games, and obviously, as footballers, you'd hear it, the Essendon, the last minute and a half, Richmond are being criticised a little bit. I thought, to your credit, your guys' composure was fantastic. And I want you to blow your own trumpet now, which I'm sure you will, but I thought your kick-in was fantastic. Did you sort of really identify Jack as that mismatch on, I think it was Mullet he was on, and then the composure of Jack to not go super quick, great running by Hunter, great kick. So just run us through that last play, because I thought the composure was fantastic in that instance.
Yeah, I think we spoke about that after the game. The composure was good by all the boys in that situation. I suppose when the game's like that, it's probably easy to just sort of go helter-skelter and just try and get it as far as we could. But, yeah, I suppose I did see Jack one-on-one, and the torp did cross my mind whether to go that straight out the middle. But I thought, just kick it to you one-on-one and try and put it to his advantage. He's a strong boy, and he took the mark, and then just to work our way up the ground and just not panic at all was nice. And I suppose that's why you train during pre-season and you do all the small-sided games with clocks and scenario-based stuff for moments like that. And that's probably why it helped us.
Matty, take us behind the scenes earlier in the week and what Luke Beveridge did to sort of help try and find that spark again. I think after last weekend's loss to Melbourne, everyone would have been feeling flat. I think it was four losses out of the last five games. How, from a sort of a coaching perspective and a leadership perspective, did everyone get round each other early in the week to try and find that sort of that energy maybe that had been missing in execution?
Yeah, I think throughout the season, with it being so even, you're going to have trots like that where you might lose a couple of games or a few games in a row. But it was probably the manner that we lost the last couple that was probably the concerning thing. But Bevo,
what does that mean? That uncompetitiveness, Matty, or what do you mean by that?
Oh, not uncompetitive. It's just, I suppose, teams really come out to get us, and they put a fair bit of gap on us on the scoreboard. We pride ourselves sort of always being in the game and within range. In the last couple of weeks, we probably weren't. At three-quarter time, it was probably nearly done. So, but Bevo's message was really just to, you know, release the shackles a little bit, be a bit more adventurous with the ball movement, and just, as a kid, I think everyone just wants to get the footy and just go back to that last night and remember why you love playing footy, and just get back to doing that, and also what helps the team, your number one thing to help the team.
And I guess earlier in the week there was some external commentary sort of really, you know, questioning the togetherness and friendship of the team, sort of saying there was some unrest or some infighting. Have you seen any of that, Matty? And how did you address that, if at all?
Yeah, I suppose we did hear a bit of that, but we've got some guys that are some larrikins, I suppose, around the club, and they love giving it to each other on social media, and I'm not sure whether media can read into that as a bit of infighting, but when guys are having a crack at each other on social media, it's normally in good fun. I know a couple of them were having a go at each other and they were sitting next to each other at dinner, so I suppose it's disappointing stuff like that gets spoken about, but at the end of the day, we can't really control about it or let it concern us, because especially with social media these days, everyone's got an opinion and everyone likes to give you a bit of a whack, so you just brush it off, I think.
We're speaking to Western Bulldogs star Matty Suckling on the Sunday Rub. Matty, news this week about Travis Cloke, and obviously everyone here and in the footy world gives Trav their best and hope that he can sort out whatever he's working with at the moment. As players at a footy club, are you instructed how to deal with your teammate in this situation, or do you just take it upon yourself to send him a message or give him a call? How do you go about it?
Oh, I think we'll make sure we do everything we can to support him and get through this time. And I think it's really great that he's identified it and spoke up about it. It probably would have been easier just to keep battling along with it, which I'm sure a lot of guys do. But I think if we get more and more guys to speak out, it's really good. And, yeah, of course, everyone, we all love Trav, and we'll all get around him. And hopefully we see him back sooner than later. But I suppose his health is the main thing at the moment. And, we'll just obviously get around him in the club and hope he just trains well.
Yeah, spot on.
The other thing, I mean, JJ's probably the other one. It's a bit different, but he's been under a bit of pressure. I like the way he fought his way through last night, Matty. I think there's a fine line between, teammates helping you all the time and actually just digging in yourself. And I thought there's some really good signs with him, particularly after halftime, where, he just sort of looked like he said, nah, well, I'm going to really work my way into the game. And I thought that was a real positive at the end of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even think he's played 100 games yet, and it's probably a credit to him that teams have identified him as how dangerous he is. And, it probably comes as a bit of a shock the first couple of times you get run with, but, yeah, he's learning, and I think he can identify how fast he is, and he can get away from anyone that's on him. And if we see him in a metre of space, it's on us to use him and get him involved in the game. And once he's feeling good, and I think last night in the second half, he really started to get back to his best.
Matty, just as we, JZ?
I was just going to say, Matty, have you spoken to him about his contract situation? I mean, you obviously left clubs from Hawthorn and dealt with a lot of that sort of outside commentary and distraction. Have you spoken to JJ, obviously, with the elephant in the room regarding, his contract at the moment?
Yeah, I've told him to stay because I love playing next to him, because obviously he gets all the attention, and guys like Shane Biggs and I can just sort of roam free a little bit. So hopefully he stays for that case. But no, I'm a great mate with him. We travel overseas together, and it's obviously a big decision. And I suppose the best thing for him is not to really buy into everything that comes in from the outside and just do his thing. And what will happen at the end of the year will happen, and I just hope he stays. But it's obviously all on him, but I think he's happy. He's definitely happy at the club, and hopefully he stays.
Matty, just as we let you go, you've done it a couple of times at the Hawks. Every footballer wants to win a premiership. You've won two of them. Then you've had to watch your teammates win one last year without you. What does that do to you as a footballer, mate? Having to sit through that after you've done it, you've won a couple, and then you've seen your mates do it without you.
Oh, yeah. I suppose it's a little bit bittersweet. You're obviously wrapped for the whole club and the whole Footscray community, I suppose, that they were able to win last year. But as a competitive beast, as we all are, you would love to be out there a part of it in that final day. But, yeah, it was a bit of a tricky one. You'd love to just get back to training as hard as you can. But with the Achilles injury I had, I wasn't able to even start training until sort of February. So I did have to really bide my time and just get as good as I could. And, yeah, I'm just loving being fit and healthy again this year and just enjoying my footy. So just enjoying the footy at the moment, mate.
Good on you, Matty. We really appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon.
You too. Have a good one. See ya.
Matty Suckling from the Western Bulldogs. Just quickly before a break, your thoughts on the Dogs?
I really like the way they went back to basics. It's always hard because, you know, Lukey Beveridge, I think, is a fantastic coach, but he's only third year. So I love the way they just stripped the game back last night. Sort of went away from a few of the tricks that I call them and just said, guys, nah, this is where we think we can get them around the stoppages. We think we can get them a bit of spread. Let's create even numbers. We've struggled with our entries. Let's keep 6v6. I thought tactically, I thought it was a really, really good game. I'm still bullish about them because I just think they're so honest. And we've seen this year, you only need to go through, even last year, they went through a really great month of footy and won the premiership. Not to say they hadn't played well during the year. But so I've still got them hope for going back-to-back.
Inside 50, at the back was Dixon, right there. Wines has got his second for the quarter.
He's a little superstar, Ollie Wines, and his team pretty happy last night after getting over Collingwood Power, defeating the Pies by 31 points. And joining us on the line is Ollie Wines. G'day, Ollie.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, great to have a chat with you. Before we get into your game, I was just saying to the boys at the start, Roosie and Jay-Z, how good's the footy? I don't know how much you watch, but, gee, it's been an entertaining season.
Certainly has. I saw a stat the other night after that Hawthorn win saying they're 17th and they're only a game out of the 8th. So putting it like that, it's been a very close year, and I guess it's been really exciting for the competition, and I guess this round just amplifies that. So many close games and so many close results. It's a really good position at the moment, AFL football.
You're playing some terrific footy, Ollie, as an individual, but also as a team. I really think there's a change in the way you've gone about. I always thought Port could punish you on turnovers, but probably relied a little bit on the other team getting them back. Whereas this year, I just feel you've got a real hunger to create turnovers, to get the ball back quicker, to get on defence quicker. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it certainly is. You summed it up very well there. That's sort of what we revolve our game around, to be honest. That pressure, forcing turnovers, and look, it's probably guys that probably go a little bit unnoticed, like Sammy Gray, Jarman Impey, Jake Need, those small guys, even Charlie Dixon, that put that pressure on, particularly in our front half, that gets us those front half turnovers and allows us to score.
Yeah, look, it's a fantastic point, Ollie, because obviously, you know, as an industry, we're probably really focused on the Robbie Grays and Chad Wingard and yourself and Paddy Ryder, et cetera, et cetera. But Sammy Gray, honestly, every time I see him play, he's exceptional. Maybe it's a bit harsh, but geez, if he could finish off his work at times, he probably elevates from a good player to an exceptional player. But Impey's good. Jakey Need was fantastic. So you're absolutely right. I mean, those periphery players this year have been exceptional for you.
Exactly. And I guess you're only as strong as your weakest player, and everyone's really lifted their standard this year. As you said, Sammy Gray having a really good year. I think the last 5 weeks he's having 20 touches and about one goal three. So if he turns those into 20 touches and four goals, he's up there with all Australian talk. So just those guys, I guess, lifting what they're doing, and everyone playing as well as playing as one, has been really beneficial for us.
Oh, it was interesting after the game. Nathan Buckley said he felt like the Power really bullied their very good midfielder around the ball. How did you see that on-ball battle? Because Treloar, Pendlebury, Sidebottom, these are excellent players, but you clearly won that battle on the day.
Yeah, it was a bit of an interesting result, really, midfield-wise. I think they had seven of the top stat getters on the day, and I don't think we felt as though they had as much ball as the stats showed. So we're able to, I guess, fight to that last whistle and get some
last-second clearances out. Look, if you're really strong in there at the moment, we start generally with three big-body mids, 190-centimetre guys, which we really like. Myself, Brad Ebert and Pau Pepper have really formed a really good bond in there, and we get a lot of help, obviously, from the big man, Paddy Ryder, and Chaddy Wingard coming through there now, and a lot of other guys. So it worked well yesterday, and obviously everyone's got a decent midfield this week, and we come up against a new challenge next week in Richmond.
Charlie Dixon's interesting, isn't he? We probably didn't know a lot about him. I mean, sometimes when you play at the Gold Coast, a few of those guys. And look, he's had a lot of injury, I guess, over the course of his career. But I always feel like all big forwards, if they can base their game around ground balls and tackling and pressure, the goals tend to come. And I think he's been terrific when the ball hits the deck and putting some real heat on the opposition, as those young, you know, smaller guys are we talked about before. How do you see that?
Yeah, definitely. He leads those guys. For a guy who's 6'8" and 105 kilos, the amount of pressure he puts on at ground level is elite. And I guess he's in that boat where he hasn't finished his work quite as well as he would have liked. He kicked a lot of points and hasn't quite rewarded him on the scoreboard. But, we're looking forward to the day where we do kick straight and these guys kick bags and, if we get that reward.
Where do we find you today, Ollie?
What's that?
Where do we find you today?
Today I'm out at Punt Road watching Cam O'Shea play for the Northern Blues, and we fly out tonight, a few of us who stayed over.
Can you give us a score update?
Where's the score? Richmond 9-9-63 to Northern Blues 4-6-30. What are we? 12 gone in the third.
Best players? Can you give us best players?
Best players. Who's playing well for Richmond? Stevie Morris. He's doing a bit.
Yep.
Who else is out there? Jake Batchelor.
What about your man Cam O'Shea? You going to
give him a bit of love? Yeah. What about your mate?
Yeah, sorry. He's playing very well off the halfback line. The ball's been down there a fair bit, so he's getting a lift.
Now, just a final question, I think. Jack Viney versus Ollie Wines in the backyard at Echuca, was it? Echuca?
That's it, yep.
Give me 10 balls, 10 ground balls. Todd's thrown 10 ground balls in. Give me the assessment.
Oh, 10 ground balls. I'm saying five each, and I'll say 12 stitches.
Good on you, Ollie. Appreciate your time. Go and enjoy your Dagwood dog.
Thanks, guys.
Ollie Wines from the Port Adelaide Footy Club joining us. A really nice win by Port. Too good for Collingwood by 31 points. The flip side of the equation, the Pies, Jay-Z. They take another blow. Not a mortal blow, but by gee, they can't afford to take too many more.
Really disappointing outcome because they're coming off the bye. They'd set themselves for this game really for 2 weeks. And from really the opening bounce of Port Adelaide, it dominated this and was so much more damaging with the ball. And when they had the footy going inside 50, they just looked like scoring rathers. The big thing for Collingwood, when they play well, they play with a lot of dare and run and are attacking with the footy. But yesterday we saw a lot of lateral kicks, a lot of backwards kicks, and they really couldn't get that penetration inside the forward 50. So it's that ball movement, which was really the big issue to come out of it again. And it leaves them in a big hole, Howie. I mean, it's 5-8 now, and they play Hawthorn on Sunday. And we saw how well the Hawks played over in Adelaide at the weekend. So they're back up on the bounce and playing some very good footy. But the questions about this Collingwood team, I mean, you've said from the opening game really this season, Roosie, that you want to see some consistency in this Collingwood team. You know, that consistent brand of footy. And the fact of the matter is, you know, 14 rounds in, they've really struggled to maintain that consistency in their play.
It is. I mean, I talk a lot about brand, and whether that's when you're coaching or on the, you know, we talked about Melbourne's brand is now more consistent, you know, and they're a developing team over the last 3 years. And I guess that's, if you're a Collingwood supporter, that's probably the most frustrating thing. And I've said it a couple of times, having coached against Collingwood in the last 3 years, some of their quarters have been as good a footy as we'd face. And yep, I remember sitting in the coach's box going, geez, they're hard and we need to match them. And then on the flip side, you touched on, I was just looking up the stats. I mean, Sidebottom's had 36, Treloar's had 35, Pendlebury's had 32, Adams had 29, Crisp had 27 in your midfield. The best for Port is Hartlett on 25. Yeah. So they're hard to work out, you know, because you're just not sure from quarter to quarter what you're gonna get. Their best is still very, very good. Is that personnel? Has Bucks just not been able to drum into that whole team. We need to put pressure on for four quarters. I mean, they're the things we don't know, because we don't know what vision they show in, during the week, what they're really trying to hang their hat on. But, yeah, look, they are frustrating, because when you see them play well and you see the talent that they have, you know, when I go through those names, the talent that they have. Having said that, you know, their forward line can be a bit skinny, you know, and Elliott's such a big loss for them.
Wells.
Varco's a big loss for them with speed, and Wells is a big loss for them with speed. So that's the thing, when I think when they don't play well, you can see that X factor's really not there. So how much is game style, how much is personnel? It's sort of sometimes hard to see.
Jay-Z, some interesting comments a while ago now by Nathan Buckley on Talking Footy alongside Craig Hutchison. We talked about it on the Friday huddle, and I thought both gentlemen handled themselves fantastically well. They both got their points of view across. As a man that would have done a fair few door stops in his time, how'd you see the discussion, Clarkie?
I thought it was riveting. Yeah, really great discussion. And clearly, Bucks' mistrust of the media came out. Now, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. I don't think clubs need to throw open their doors, you know, every week, really, because sometimes they have these press conferences with players and only two or three journos actually rock up. So some of the clubs like North Melbourne, who have done a fair bit of that, have actually didn't find it that useful in the end. So, look, I think the big challenge for journos these days is it's harder to build the trust and the rapport and the relationships, because you are always at arm's distance, if you know what I mean. Like, I think when I came in sort of 15 years ago, there was greater opportunity to really get access to these guys and build that rapport. But now, I mean, if you call Jeff Walsh at the Collingwood Football Club, oh, how's such and such's hamstring injury going? You know, will he be back next week? You just get the call from the media manager saying, oh, did you call Jeff Walsh? What's that about? Look, our official media injury releases on the website. So you're just so much distance in between the journos and the players at the moment, which makes that difficult to build up that trust and rapport and relationship.
Ruzi, the way I see it, tell me if I'm wrong or right, I see it that in the media we like to individualise, and the journos, and we want to interview people and pump up individuals after a great performance. And he's going this well, yeah, whereas clubs want to make it all about the team, and they don't want to see players individualised. And I reckon that's why it never quite gels.
I'll give you a couple of examples. I mean, but coaching in Sydney was interesting, because there was this perception that we were, and it's probably topical given what BT has said the other day. There was this perception that we were very closed and we wouldn't want anyone to talk. And I said this to someone the other day. I think I was talking to Ralphie on Friday night. I said this to Ralphie on Friday night. I reckon in the 8.5 years that I spoke, that I coached Sydney, there might have been one player or two players that I said, look, I don't want you to talk to the media. The mistrust comes from the players. And I would say to the players, oh, look, Howie, can you go into, oh, I said, I'm not going to make you do it. But I never stopped anyone from doing it. So that's point one. It was generally comes from the players. Generally, the players are the ones that say, I'd prefer not to do it, because of that mistrust. Mm. Number two is, and this is where it becomes really hard, Jay-Z, is, and in Sydney, and it's really, I've really noticed it in getting towards this in Melbourne. In Sydney, they wanted to talk to Barry Hall or the captain or me. Mm. That was it. So it's hard for the media department. It's hard for Barry Hall. Yeah, when I say that, Brett Kerr or the captain or whatever. So really, it's isolated to sort of three or four players. It's very hard to put three or four players every single week up. And what I think we're seeing now is everyone wants to talk to Dangerfield, Selwood, Franklin. We don't hear enough about those human interest stories around, and I'm just using because we're watching the game at the moment. You know, Mitch Duncan's had a terrific season. Gam Guthrie's a really important player for them. We don't know anything about them because the media don't want to tell us about them. So it is a two-way street. I hope what Bucks said wasn't lost on the media, because I don't think I'll put myself in the footy club. I don't care what the players come out and say. And I'll give you one example. I've got to be careful because I don't want to expose who this player was, but this player was very excited about the article he'd just done, the media, thought it was fantastic, read the article, and was just shattered. Because one, and this is what Bucks made a really good point, one piece of information in the discussion was the main point of this article. Rather than this journalist ringing up this person saying, look, what do you mind if I put that in? Or I'm going to leave that out because I reckon it mightn't look make you look good. So I'm going to leave that out. Building, there's a relationship. I'll leave it out. And what I might do, if you don't mind, at a relevant time, do you mind if I give you a call back and we might use it in a different contest?
Yep.
So one article then becomes two articles. The relationship then, gee, that was nice of Jay-Z. He rang me up, thought I was going to get, but
burned.
The pressure, I guess, Jay-Z, and putting my media hat on, there is pressure from the editor, the sub-editor to say, no, we want you to use that. That's a great thing because we can sell, you know, It's got to be a two-way
playing
street.
The long game.
Yeah, exactly.
And the pressure is on journos these days to come up with sort of their big headlines and the better stories, you know, every day.
Have you ever had something that someone said to you that thought, this is not going to reflect well on them, but this is going to make a good story, and you felt that you didn't want to do that to that person, so have kept it in your back pocket?
Oh, yeah. Well, lots of times. I couldn't think of anything sort of particularly engaging right off the top of my head.
And if your editor found out you'd done that, what would happen?
Sometimes you just don't mention it at all. If it's going to make them look silly, you just leave it out. And that, exactly as you said, Roosie, that helps build trust with that player.
Gather round, boys and girls. It's story time with Roosie.
Still my favourite stinger on Triple M Football, Mark Howard with you. Jay Clark, Nathan Brown not too far away, and this man who loves to tell a good story, Paul Roosie. Been a big week for the AFL, the Players Association. Nice to see they got a deal done after a couple of other sports are struggling to do that at the moment. These organisations have come a long way.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, when I was sort of thinking about my story today, it was more around the changing face of footy. And look, good luck to the players. They do put on the show, and regardless of what we think in specific areas, you know, is it too much, is it too little, they put on the show. And as we've discussed, you know, the footy this year is fantastic. So good luck to the players with their pay rise and et cetera. But one of the things I hope, and it is hard now, that they understand the history of the game. That's something that we really we did at Sydney and it spoke about the Bloods and the culture, et cetera. And I was just reflecting, it was funny, I was reflecting on footy as it's changed. Because our first meeting I remember with the Players Association, the pioneers were Laurie Serafini from Fitzroy, Michael Moncrief, Simon Madden. And I remember our first meeting that we had was under a tree across the road, the Junction Oval. So the club would not let us, they wouldn't let us,
Use the facilities.
Wow. So we had to walk across the ground, and I drive past the Junction Oval off on the way home to Brighton, and the tree's not there anymore, but we had to walk across the road and we had to meet under a tree at the Junction Oval. And the discussion was around, you know, it's very early days in the CBA and, sorry, not even the CBA, but in the Players Association. And so it was really undercover. The clubs weren't at all supportive of that, and full credit to Laurie and Mick and all those guys that were really big in the early days. You know, so that was my sort of first exposure. And bearing in mind, yeah, we were all part-time back then, you know, so we were, you know, 3 mornings a week, pre-season, 6 o'clock down at Kerford Road, go to training at night. So it was you know, everyone was working during the day. So it was vastly, vastly different to what it is now. A couple of things then sort of struck me. I remember when Fitzroy moved around and you're talking about facilities now and how good they are and how well the players looked after a day and a half off a week and all those sorts of things, which again is fine. So I remember driving, we'd moved around and we trained at Waverley. So I was working in the city and I jumped in my car and drove out the Waverley. Wasn't that easy to get to back in those days.
What type of job were you doing?
I was working for the AMP and very, very good at that. So I drove out to Waverley, got to Waverley, which is a fair hike, and there's a sign on the door. So here we are, we're you know, professional, well, not semi-professional. Training tonight will be at Northcote. So I've looked at the sign and I just saw a sign. So then I've had to get in my car and I've had to drive to Northcote. So this was as I said, a VFL, you know, Fitzroy. Next time, not next time, but the another time I remember. So we arrived one morning for Sunday training at the Lakeside Oval. There was literally a bolt and chain on the door.
Wow.
You will not have access to this facility until you pay your bills. Basically, we've arrived and no one had bolt cutters, so we couldn't get in. Another one. We're training at Northcote. Wolsey was, at this stage, and the ground was so bad that we trained on, and it was sort of a funny setup. Northcote, it had almost like a sandy base to it, so it got really wet and
and we were, this was a Thursday night, I think, before we played a game. We were literally been on the training track for 10 minutes. And Warsey said, this is a complete waste of time. Mm. And took us off the track. We didn't even train. Fast forward, go to Sydney. And Sydney was starting to be fair to Sydney, it was starting to become a little bit better. But we trained at the showgrounds and we trained at the Randwick Army Barracks. And I remember there was times at the showgrounds after the show, we, as a playing group, we would literally string ourselves out across the ground side by side and have to walk the length of the field if there's any glass, rocks,
wow,
et cetera, before we actually
trained.
Before
was this the showgrounds, would they let the animals out on the showgrounds at this
stage? Because the showgrounds were just in behind the SCG.
So could you be sliding through a little sort of a, you know, a horse pool?
I know where you're going. No, well, I don't know whether anyone come across one of them and decide to pick it up. But it is fascinating just to see. And again, we made a really big attempt at Sydney to educate the young players, because the Sydney guys, and they tell the story, Stephen Torbett, Dennis Carroll, the guys that are still involved in the club, they literally arrived in Sydney, 1981, I think it was 82, with a phone book, and that's pretty much it. Wow. Find your own accommodation, put your kids in school, et cetera. Now, when you think now, fast forward so many years, and we're talking about, you know, what is it, 380, 1,000
average
salary, you know, day and a half off a week, 20% increase up to a million. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying it just really reflecting on how different and how much it's changed now. You know, we look at the facilities of, you know, across the road with Collingwood. I mean, when I come down to Melbourne, fantastic facilities. Arden Street, some of the traditional clubs that had struggled. Arden Street, Kangaroos, I'm sure Duck and Swatter would have some interesting stories around, you know, what they put up with too. But, yeah, it's just fascinating how far the game's come in a relatively short period of time.
Because isn't your belief, Ruzzi, that the players actually have too much time off?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, no question.
You would want more contact and more training with the players, is that right?
Yeah, look, I think there's a mistrust that, my view is, I suppose it sparked from when I finished at Sydney coaching to starting to coach again at Melbourne, and they now have 4-day breaks, day and a half off a week, whereas at Sydney it was very much around the club, the well-being of the club. So Benny Matthews, who played on me, he agreed with me. So what we would do, we'd say, guys, look, we're going to have half a day off today. You know, so you could argue, but we gave them more time off when we were actually able to control it, because we don't want to run the players into the ground. We want to make sure that they're well-rounded. We want to make sure they go to university, et cetera, et cetera. But that trust is sort of now taken away from the clubs. You've got to have a day and a half off a week. You've got to have 4-day breaks. And it's very, very difficult to get, particularly at a club towards the bottom ladder, it's very difficult to get enough time and enough face-to-face time with the players.
To develop them.
To develop them and improve them.
First time this afternoon, we welcome Bob Jane T-Mart style, Mickey Roberts. Hello, Robbo. What's happening on the boundary?
Hello, Howie. A little bit overcast down here. Johnny Barker joins us. And I tell you, exciting times for the Blues because, well, I've watched Carlton grow, really, with the indication of the rising stars. You've had 4 now, but I tell you what, nice to have a crack at 3 wins, Johnny, isn't it?
Yeah, that'd be handy today, but we won't put the cart before the horse, mate. We've got a bit of work to do. 4 quarters.
Just saw Ed Curnow down in the dungeon there, having a bit of a chat to some of the coaches. Who does he get? Does he get Dusty or does he get Cochin?
Well, they're both obviously very good players, and they get their ball in slightly different ways, so We'll let it unfold, and you can keep your eyes peeled.
Come on, Johnny.
He's not exactly blowing his open with information at the moment, Johnny Barker, is he?
In strict instructions.
Come on, Johnny.
Strict instructions from the club, Johnny, just to say nothing.
Yeah,
come on, mate.
Absolutely.
Old Fitzroy, man, give me something today. Yeah, I'll start off with an easy question. Better player, me or Alistair Lynch?
Sorry?
Easy question to warm up. Better player, Fitzroy, me or Alistair Lynch?
I tell you what, that 94 season, Lynchy was unbelievable. But one thing I'd say is Roosie was pretty new age at Fitzroy. We used to play across half back, and we used to have go minus one in the back half when Roosie was playing down next to take off.
Yeah, but that's what's
gone full circle now. It's plus one. But
yeah, that's what Steve O was there for, to cover my man.
Minus one.
You let the blokes that can't play do that, and I'll just go run around and get the ball. Hey, well, mate, we're in all seriousness, your back line. organisation, mate, has been terrific. I mean, you know, I've spoken a lot about Cade Simpson and Doherty and their ability to sort of play that wing half-back role, really help those young players. But I just love your defensive structures really stood up for most games this year.
Yeah, look, I think it's a big part of the game now, and I think the better teams organise better behind the ball. And you only see Hodgie the other night mic'd up. The importance of a guy like that who can structurally set you up and ensure opposition rebounds, covered and cornered, and you're covering any outlets, and even behind stoppage, just ensuring that the look's right. It's important, and the better teams do it really well.
A lot of recent noise about Liam Jones, Johnny. Just give us an insight into whose idea was it to sort of play him down back, and just give us an accurate description of him as a player. I believe he's not great endurance, but terrific speed power. But his game on his last two games, particularly on Lynch, was just amazing.
Yeah, look, he's playing really good footy. In terms of power, he's the most powerful guy at our club. Quick off the mark. And he's really good at ground level too for a big guy. Just him down back just suited him nicely. And as it sort of feeds into what you're talking about before, you got really good organisation down back, and you've got some really good half backs who can cover well. Then he gets isolated. He's good in a one on one, and he doesn't have to work as hard. His tank could improve a little bit, but his speed is outstanding.
Johnny, I think it's going to be a fascinating match today because you guys like to play the game in the back half and possess the ball and chip it around a bit, whereas Richmond, they've got some claws now and some snarl in their forward half with their speed and their pressure players. How are you going to handle that Richmond forward line heat today?
Well, just one thing, Jake, we do not like playing the game in our back half, I tell you right now. It just happens to occur that way sometimes, and we've been reasonable at getting it out. I think what happens is over time, if you play the game in your back half too much, you get hurt. So you're right, they've got some speedy quicks, and the plan for us is to keep it out of there as much as possible.
I'm hearing a story I like as we speak to Johnny Barker, Carlton assistant coach down on the boundary, that you've been spending some time with Ange Postecoglou, the coach of the Socceroos. True story, or have I got that wrong?
It is true. I've been on camp with those guys a couple of times now and just loved every minute of it. Obviously worked pretty hard to try and grow myself as a coach. You know, we keep talking to players about needing to continuously improve and get better, and we're at them the whole time, so it'd be hard for me to ask that of the players if you're not prepared to do that yourself and keep growing, getting better. So Andrew's been outstanding. Yeah, he's a super, super coach, and you just those sort of opportunities are like gold for a coach who wants to get better and grow himself.
Well, I also heard, Johnny, after the 3-2 loss to Germany, that you sent him a fairly specific email about what you thought he should do to the structure of the side, and it paid off with a 1-1 draw with Cameroon.
I'll tell you what, I was in their review after the Brazil game, and at one stage I asked me what I thought, and I started rattling off a few ideas, and I got shut down pretty quick, I tell you.
Well, they must have listened because they're going okay. You're with Paul Roos.
They're going okay. They're going okay.
Sometimes the game is relatively simple in a sense. Tell us a bit of how important your really good players have been. I've been so impressed with Murphy, Gibbs's game was unbelievable. Cripps has been really good. I mentioned Doherty and Simpson already, but Matty Cruiser. So just your really good players have had outstanding seasons.
They have, and they're a big part of the reason as to why we've been so competitive in so many games. And we know the young guys sometimes don't quite endure the full four quarters, or the decision making's not quite as sharp as it'll be as they grow with more experience. But you expect your elder players and your senior players to play well, and they are. And that's allowing us to be super competitive, and it's allowed us to win the last couple of games as well as we have.
Johnny, we really appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Carlton Footy Club today.
Thanks, boys.
Jumping Johnny Barker, the real man behind the scenes as far as Australia going to the next World Cup in Sochi, Jay-Z.
Yeah, nice little tactical advice for Ange. Is that right, Roosie? Did you really leave your man that open back in the day? Did all the boys just basically have to pick up your man?
Oh, it's one of those myths in footy. I'm happy to go with it, you know.
it comes back to the discussion we had last week, and I was loath to bring it up, that a couple of his former charges that he coached, said he was a little bit lazy as far as a coach goes. And sort of obviously this is something that developed early on in his footy career as a player, JC.
Yes.
You happy to back me up in this?
A little loose man in defence. Cover off my man. Hey, there were a couple of bubbling news lines. Bubbling away, Howie, and Brad Scott had a crack at the umpiring in a bit of an indirect way, because it was a lopsided count and a couple of key moments really went against the Roos last night. And there were probably two in particular. One, Roosie, the set shot where Sean Higgins took about 35 seconds to have his shot on goal. And Stringer tackled him, dispossessed, the ball went up the other end of the ground. But it was really interesting, Roosie, that the closest umpire didn't actually say anything. It was the umpire who was furthest away, 40, 50 metres away, who actually called for Sean Higgins to play on because he'd expired up or taken up too much time. But clearly Sean Higgins hadn't heard the umpire in this situation. So for me, the big issue for the AFL today was actually clarify that. Should it be the responsibility be on the umpire who's actually closest to the kicker to be controlling that play on situation?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of key differences between the Charlie Dixon one. I mean, the Charlie Dixon one, the scoreboard was evident and the countdown clock was on the scoreboard. So there was not a lot of argument relating to that. And I think at the end of the day, there was some frustration from Port, but the rule was pretty clear. 30 seconds had gone and then the umpire called play on. Last 2 minutes of the game, and I didn't actually realise this, but I think it's on the back of Mason Wood, wasn't it? So the last 2 minutes of the game, there's no countdown clock on the clock. So that's a big difference to the Charlie Dixon one. And you're absolutely right. If you're watching the tape, the umpire closest to Higgins, who's only about 8 metres away, wasn't the actual umpire to call play on. It was the umpire that was deeper inside forward 50, probably 30 metres away from where Higgins was. And the other thing that people would know is when we commented on the coverage, there was a shot down the other end where the umpire actually counted 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I can't remember exactly which player it was because we commented on it at the time, but it didn't seem as significant. So there are a couple of questions that you'd love to get answered, because it also looked like Stringer was almost the only one on the field to hear, because the guy on the mark didn't move at all. He didn't come forward at all. The guys next to the umpire as well. So there was a real fascination around it, Howie, and how it transpired.
We welcome him for the first time on a Sunday this season, Nathan Brown. Hello, Noodles.
Yeah, can't wait for this one. And when I first walked into Richmond, there was one thing you learnt, and that's they hate Carlton. All the old guys around the footy club, the boot studders, the property stewards, they genuinely have a real hatred for Carlton.
That's nice to know, Nathan. We started off the show, we needed a lift because there was no duck, there was no swatter. You were still on the way from the Sunday footy show. We asked Roosie to deliver us a bit of a pre-game pep up, and it's blown up social media. If you missed it, this is what the great premiership coach delivered.
Disappointing, complacency setting in. That's the thing that worries me today, boys. Caring. Is he dining out on his footy career? Swass. I know he's won premierships. I know he won the best and fairest at Sydney. He's not here. Jay-Z goes to Terrelgan Friday night with a mate, has a few drinks, gets up at 6:30, comes in dishevelled. Howie walks in about 10 minutes to one. Normally the first one here. Complacency. 2:05. How easy would it have been for Jude Bolton to say, Chris Judd's too good for me? How easy would it have been for Brett Kirk to say, Ben Cousins, I can't take him on. Ben Matthews, Kerr, I can't play on him, Roosie. It's easy to do. Oh, no, it's going to be an honourable loss. We'll go out. Fans haven't seen us win for 72 years. We'll just wander out, get beaten by 5. No one rates us. That's easy to do. That's it. They dug deep. How easy would it have been? Luke Ablett, I'm looking down the pocket now. He squares the ball up. Ben Cousins marks it in the goal square. Kicks a goal. Did we roll over? No! We fought and we won. That's what we're going to do today, Jay-Z. Howie, look me in the eye.
I'm ready, Roosie.
Are we on or not?
We're on, mate.
Let's go.
Nate, are you ready to go after that?
I've just figured out why I never won a premiership. I didn't have this man in my corner.
Well done to Roosie. It is time now for...
The Sunday Rubs.
Oh, back to school.
Back to school quiz.
The back to school quiz now. I've got to warn you two gentlemen. I've done Dead Set Legends for a couple of years with this man beside me, Nathan Brown. And I don't say this lightly. He knows a lot of football trivia. He is very, very good at football trivia. Running a total. You're not sure how this quiz goes, but you just I'll explain in a minute. Swatter's on 3. Ducks on 3. Jay-Z 3. And Roosie's on 2.
Four, Howie. I'm on 4.
No, mate. You're on...
We're on 3 last week.
Okay, oh, well, Jay-Z's on 4.
He's on 4.
Okay.
I think he did win.
It's clearly well run, isn't it, Brownie?
Oh, okay. Jay-Z's on 4, Swatter Duck 3, and Roosie on 2. Now, Nate, you'll soon learn you need to test your buzzer. Your buzzer, you have to say noodle, noodle.
Noodle, noodle.
Yep.
JJ.
Roos, Roos.
Righto. Here we go. I tell you, he's very, very good at footy trivia, this man.
I build it up.
Nearest the pin. You can all have a go. How many games has Serge, Steve, and Jack Silvani played combined? Roosie.
I'll go 600.
600? Jay-Z?
Oh, 700.
Brandon? I'm going to go 615.
615. The answer is 570. Roosie gets off to a nice little start. Well done, Roosie.
A bit more than that.
Just test your buzzer again, Brownie.
Noodle, noodle.
That's it. History. Which Richmond player kicked 7 goals in the 1980 VFL Grand Final? Roosie.
It was either Mark Jackson
or
Brian Taylor.
The 1980 Grand Final, which Richmond player kicked 7 goals?
Kevin Bartlett. Noodle, noodle.
Didn't use your buzzer.
VFL. You said reserves grand final.
No, I didn't say noodle, reserves
noodle.
Grand final.
I said noodle,
you said
noodle.
Reserves grand
Don't
final.
Make
Can
up
we go
rules
back?
As you go along.
It was Kevin Bartlett.
I've already said Kevin Bartlett.
I did not say reserves grand final.
I'd like to hear that again.
Noodle, noodle, Kevin Bartlett.
Roosie, you get so punchy in this quiz.
In his defence, I was thinking twos as well.
Yeah. Well, Do you think twos?
Yeah, I was thinking.
Geography. Eddie had
Mark Jackson.
Geography. Etihad Stadium has been known by two
noodle,
other
noodle.
Names.
Noodle. Colonial Stadium.
Yes.
Telstra Dome.
I tell you. I tell you. He's good at this stuff, old noodle. Guess the player. Now, you need to listen in here, Brownie. We go back to round one, 2016.
Further out wide to Kerridge, the former Crow, to... put the 1 minute up, and it's stuck.
Piss off.
You can't do that, Chief.
Left-hander. Just a one-handed
Levi
Kasbot. Incorrect.
JJ.
JJ.
Daisy Thomas.
Incorrect. Roosie.
Matty Cruiser.
Incorrect. We'll play the correct audio now.
To Walker. Oh! Put the 1 minute up and it's stuck.
Piss off. No score there. English. Name the two current Melbourne players with hyphenated names.
JJ.
Yes.
Alex Neil Bullen.
Yes.
I can't think of the other one.
Roos. Jay Kennedy Harris.
And?
Alex Neil Bullen.
Correct.
Well done.
Roosie goes to 2. Brownie's 2. Jay-Z yet to trouble the scorers. During the week, Noodle, who said this?
Guys certainly enjoyed themselves.
JJ.
JJ. Majority of the weekend.
I was off his own podcast.
That's
garbage.
Why don't we get some audio from Breakfast with Tammy and Paul Roos and we'll play.
Some audio from the Sunday footy show as well.
Oh, crikey. All right, Jay-Z's 1. Noodle Brown is on 2. Roosie's on 2. We get to who am I. It could be the decider. Who am I? I was born on the 18th of January, 1973. I played 278 games, kicking 226 goals. I am a two-time All-Australian, 1995 and 2000. I won Dancing with the Stars.
Noodle, noodle.
Noodle.
Anthony Koutafidis.
Anthony Koutafidis. Wow. And Noodle Brown takes it out on his first attempt at the quiz.
He said he'd be good.
It's embarrassing that he had to bring Dancing with the Stars into a committee.
It's amazing you didn't remember it from footy.
I told you he would be good. We just played a bit of that podcast audio during the week. Right, you've got a podcast called Jock and the Journo. Yep. Check it out on iTunes. A very, very nice podcast. Rates very well. Scotty Pendlebury said this on your podcast.
You know, off the field, I think guys certainly enjoyed themselves for majority every sort of weekend that you could get out. Guys were going out and it was, you know, celebrated the premiership, the 2010 premiership for most of 2011 as well.
Jay-Z. It blew up. Mick Malthouse commented on it. Dane Swan on Twitter. All sorts of players have got involved. Tell us the context of what he was talking about.
Well, he sort of said that really some of this off-field partying was one of the factors that cost them the 2011 Premiership. So he also said there were injuries at play and there was also only a four-week break between 2010-2011. But essentially, late in the season, the wheels fell off a little bit. Now, for me, it was a revealing look behind the curtain into Collingwood's off-field culture in 2011. And for me, it was pretty clear that the captain was saying that, Collingwood didn't handle their own success very well because it continued into 2012. And you remember Nathan Buckley in 2013 talked about this culture problem. And is this club going to move on from that premiership that it's won? So Dane Swan tweeted yesterday, got something like 1,500 likes, saying that, they lost yesterday because clearly they were too much partying, taking the mickey out of it. And Mick Malthouse was very strong as well, saying that that wasn't the case. And this is what he had to say.
I don't say it's a cheap shot, but I'd be thinking that Luke Ball, Nick Maxwell, Darren Jolly, a lot of those players would be saying, what's he talking about? You know, you can't just bracket the club into a little bit that Scott thinks that he may have been part of. I just don't get that.
Now, for me, it's pretty clear that he's saying that the Magpies didn't handle the success so well in 2011. It may be only been a marginal thing, a 1% thing, a 2% thing, but he was saying it maybe that the professionalism off the field cost them on
the
field.
It's not a hangover, though.
In 2011. We can call it whatever you want.
They were in front the third quarter of a grand final to go back-to-back, so it's hard to say it's a premiership hangover.
And, yep.
From a few sources, I think that there's been a big fallout before that between Pendlebury and Mick Malthouse, who haven't spoken for quite a while about some comments Pendlebury made a long time ago as well. So
you're telling us that Scott Pendlebury and Mick Malthouse don't talk?
I don't think they talk that often, no. And I think you heard the bit of spite about Mick Malthouse saying that maybe he didn't prepare himself that well, which certainly they're at odds, Collingwood, over that period, which should have been a dynasty of maybe two or even three premierships.
But yeah. If you do have a player, and I've coached, and let me tell you this, a player is more aware of the social environment that the other players are in.
Which is what Nathan Buckley said.
I can guarantee I wouldn't have gone out one Saturday night in 2005 with any of the players, and I wouldn't have gone out in 2006 with any of the players. Scott Pendlebury went out with the players. So a player would be more aware of what the drinking culture is than a coach. And if a player comes out and says, and I don't know, and I didn't hear the whole podcast, but I think it was a bit taken out of context, wasn't it? I don't think he necessarily said we lost the grand final because we drunk. He said we didn't handle 11 well enough and we drank too much.
Yeah, we could have done better in that off-field
absolutely.
Front. But
yeah.
He did say that they played amazing footy
and
the chemistry, synergy and tactics.
Probably more effective than the year after, didn't it?
Yeah, 2012.
And that's when the wheels fell off.
Yeah.
Excellent podcast, Jock and the Journo. You jump on iTunes and you can have a listen to Jay-Z and Scotty Pendlebury everywhere.
What podcast day does it come gold out on? For you, obviously.
What day does it come out on?
We do it to Wednesdays. Yeah,
okay.
Wednesdays,
did Collingwood Thursdays. Say anything to you after it became a back page story?
They had no issue with the content, with what Scotty said. They probably just weren't thrilled that it blew up probably as big as it did and, continued to bubble on with Mick and Swanee, etc.
Talking about concussion, another incident yesterday for Paddy McCartan, who doesn't seem to be able to get a real run at the moment.
Shocking luck, the St Kilda full forward, back playing in the VFL again, and in that opening quarter suffered another head knock. So that's his sixth concussion since 2014. I don't think there's any doubt that he'll have a break from the game again. Not sure how long that'll be, whether it's 1 week or 3 or 4 weeks. He'll be assessed by the medicos. So he's just having such a shocking run, hasn't he, Paddy McCartan? The good news, though, is that Angus Brayshaw is closing on a return at Melbourne, whether it's this week or the next week. He's really building up his contact work, and mightn't be too far away from the runaround in the twos.
What are your thoughts about McCartan actually being at St Kilda next year?
Well, it's a good question, Brownie. I think the clubs will have a bit of interest. I think it might have a bit to do with whether Nick Riewoldt goes.
I've heard McCartan's not happy, the fact that he isn't getting a game. He feels like he should. He feels like he's done everything they've asked him to do when he does play, and he is missing out. They do have four really good tall forwards who can play in that forward end, but he's the one that gets squeezed out.
Well, if Riewoldt does stay, you think that might agitate even more. And there'd be no doubt a club
like Geelong.
Big question,
big decision for the Saints.
And I think, if you're going to keep one of the two, Nick Riewoldt for one more year or Paddy McCartan for another 10 years, which way would you go?
It is a tough one because you have to honour your great players with the respect. Maybe you have to play Nick Riewoldt on the wing like North Melbourne played Waite last night and just say, you're on the wing all year. You're not going to play in the forward line because we need to develop McCartan.
Boys, back when I used to work at Channel 7 years ago and the Brisbane Lions were almost unstoppable, we used to have a little reporter guru up in Brisbane that'd have to call in the stats via phone at the end of the game so he could put together our stuff for the Sunday morning show, Sports World. And he'd ring up and he'd have to run through disposal. So he'd go, Voss, 23 possessions, 2 goals. Brown, 15, 2 goals, 1. Michael, 16. And then he would always go, Lapidosic, 19. Lapidosic, 23. Justin Lapidosic is down on the boundary now, I believe, with Mickey Roberts. Robbo, have you got the great Lapidosic?
I have. I've just pulled him out of a meeting. Leper, I tell you what, going through the stats, I didn't realise that this side has been unchanged for a couple of weeks. I only thought it was last week. So that's real confidence in actually putting a lineup out there.
Yeah, it is. It's always good when you get a little bit of consistency in the lineup. Who knows what's right and wrong, though. It doesn't necessarily mean you have wins, but it's good that we get some consistent form into the boys.
Now, what do you say to some of the prominent football scribes or people in football that reckon that you pack it in before the tape, that getting your pressure builds and you can't perform? What do you say to that?
Do you mean Spud?
Yeah. That'll do.
Look, you know what? He's probably right. Let's be honest. Let's just call it that. No, look, obviously people in the media have to have their opinions. It's been an interesting weekend for everyone choking, hasn't it, if we're going to use that word? So it's been quite funny footy this year. There's been a lot of teams that have had upsets and we've been on the right end of them and the wrong end of them. But one thing I know about Richmond, and I've been good being back here again, but geez, they're always in the news no matter what happens, and good, bad or indifferent. But I think our fans would be really happy that we sit here 7-5 at the moment. I think if you sit at the start of the year, you'd take that, I reckon, that result.
Yeah, Leper, I don't disagree with your coach, Damien Hardwick. I think you've been fantastic this year. And as you said, you're probably not going to win by 10, but you're definitely not going to lose by 10. And I think, yeah, we're seeing such inconsistency this year. And one of the things I've loved is the Tigers. You know what you're going to get. You come to the footy, and I've done a few of their games, and I've loved the game style this year. So I tend to agree with Dimmer. I think you've been fantastic, mate. We talked about before, I reckon it's going to be a fascinating duel between your forwards, particularly your small forwards, and how you sort of rein in Doherty and Simpson, who have been fantastic organisers down there. How do you see that battle panning out?
Yeah, it's a good question. After, you know, watched a fair bit of Oppo, obviously, the last few weeks, and a lot of teams have pushed really high up, you know, against their back line and haven't really made them defend as well. So that'll be a bit of a tactic of ours first and foremost. We always have the tagging thing up our sleeve if we want to go to it. I mean, Doherty started centre square the first 10 minutes of last week, so you can't tag someone, you know, when that happens. So we're all mindful of all those things, and there's contingencies in place. But I think as a forward line group, we've got to make their defenders defend first and not just sit back and read the play and get offensive ball.
Leper, everyone speaks about Alex Rance, rightly so, he's an absolute superstar, but David Asprey was nearly at your former club, the Brisbane Lions, in the off-season, and he goes unsung a lot because he plays on a lot of the big gorillas and allows Rance to come off third man, and he's done an enormous job, and I'd imagine you've had a fair bit to do with him this year.
A little bit. Well, actually, Ben Rutten's doing the backs, and he's done a terrific job with all those boys. I mean, I probably, you know, put the nappies on them and took them off in the early stages when they were young boys, but now they're mature men, and as I said, the Truck's doing a great job with them and their development. And they really saved the day a lot for our group. We talk about the pressure of our front half, but really their back half ability to win the ball back and save goals has been extraordinary this year.
But I think we've seen it this year, obviously, with the rucks and the no third up. I guess more out of necessity, and I haven't sort of scoured your list and seen what sort of injuries you've got, but obviously you've got Nankervis, who's been terrific, but Griggs sort of that second ruck. Is that more out of necessity that perhaps you're a little bit skinny in that area that you've had to adapt to that?
Yeah, it's list management, Roosie. It's pretty much what we've got. Ivan's been in and out of the side this year, and the only other young player we've got now that Ben Griffiths sort of hasn't been around is Mabior Chol, who's a rookie, so we have to upgrade him to do it, but just hasn't played the consistent form yet that you'd like. So yeah, we just probably don't have the depth on our list yet. Maybe Nick Riewoldt can come to Richmond next year. That'd be nice if he wants to play forward.
Leper, what's the forecast on Benny Griffiths? I think he's sort of out indefinitely with that concussion at the moment. How is he travelling? Can he come back and play any footy this year?
Yeah, I think so. He's back training now. And taking some sort of knocks, obviously not to the head, but to the side and things like that. So he's building his confidence in that area. It's obviously such an unknown, isn't it, concussion and what happens inside the brain. So, yeah, we're obviously very mindful of his health as well.
Do you feel like this has sort of put his career in any sort of jeopardy at the moment, Justin? Is it sort of become that serious?
Oh, I hope not. I don't know the answer, but I obviously had a situation with Justin Clark last year when I was at Brisbane, and yeah. It was a really sad time, and to watch a boy at the age of 21 lose his career. That was a really hard thing to handle. And look, I think we all hope that it doesn't, but I don't think anyone can categorically say either. There's so much unknown with the injury.
Justin, before we let you go, you obviously made the transition from an assistant coach to a senior coach, which everyone says is the biggest step in footy. What's it like going back the other way? How do you handle that, mate?
Well, your workload goes back about fivefold, which is nice. I get a bit more time with the family. And when that's true, you laugh, but, you know, there's when you're the main man and, Roosie, you know, you've got not just your players that you need to service, and I've got 13 to service now. You've got 44 as a senior coach, and obviously 10-odd coaches, and then staff around them, and then also the exterior staff, like media people and all the other, the board and people like that. So it's a very full-on job. And funny enough, you feel like you never have enough time for your players when you're the main man. So it is difficult. But, yeah, I'm enjoying the less workload is probably the easiest way to put it.
And just for my good mate, the Brisbane journo that I will not name, is there any possible chance that variant on your name that we can get away with calling you Justin Lapidosic?
It's the first time I've heard that. But I've been called a lot of names, so I'm happy to add another one to the list.
Justin Lapidosic, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Tigers today.
No worries, boys.
Thanks, Leva.
Top of the goal square, the antagonist, the man with the muscle mining, and Melbourne have kicked three goals in the term.
Jack Viney, fantastic for his footy club last night. With an injury concern, came out and got the job done in the last quarter, as did Melbourne. 3-point winners over the West Coast Eagles. We're stoked to have him on the line now. G'day, Jack.
G'day, Howie. G'day, fellas. How are we?
Well, great to speak to you. More importantly, before we talk about the game, physically, how are you, mate? Congratulations on the win, but you took some big hits last night.
Yeah, it was good. Good win by the boys, and boys feeling a little bit sore this morning. But you know, wouldn't have it any other way.
What about yourself, mate? I'm trying to figure out your shoulder. You got a big whack there last night. How have you pulled up?
Yeah, not too bad. I got a bit of a whack in the third quarter on the shoulder, and had it strapped up, and you know, got through the game okay, and it's pulled up pretty well. So. Look after it during the week and hopefully be fresh for Friday night clash.
Mate, fantastic win. Well done, Jack. I mean, you've been there a while now, and the difference this year, yeah, just the consistency around the performance, around the contest work, and yeah, those younger guys just getting more consistent. Is that the way you see it? I mean, from minute one to minute 120, there doesn't appear to be much of a drop-off. There's been a couple of quarters early on, but certainly the last 3 or 4 weeks have been just exceptional in that area.
Yeah, you're right, Ruse. You know, our contest stuff is what we pride ourselves on, and it's been probably the most consistent feature for our game. You know, we've had halves, quarters, where our ball use and the fundamentals might have been a little bit off, but the contest works really kept us in the game, and we've had to win a couple of scrappy ones.
The other thing we chatted on, Jack, was just the depth of the list now. I mean, give your old man a pump up. I don't know whether he's listening to you or sitting having brekkie with you, but give your old man a pump up and Jason Taylor, because you've seen the evolution of the list over the last sort of 3 or 4 years in particular, but there's certainly way more depth on the list, clearly, than 3 years ago.
Yeah, you know, probably don't want to give an old man too much of a pump up because I've figured... big enough head as it is, but we've just got really good depth at the footy club. We've been struck with injuries all through the year, and we've had guys come in and just fill the role and do what the team requires. So it is a credit to Jason Taylor and the recruiting team there and the job they've been able to do.
And further that, you've got a luxury in the next couple of weeks because you've got Jesse Hogan to come back in, but also Wiedemann kicked half a dozen in the twos yesterday.
Yeah, I got to watch the first half of the Casey game, and that's when Big Weeds did all his magic, and he was on fire, the big fella. To have Hogs come in eventually, and Weeds keep pushing, trying to knock the door down for a spot on the team. It's just a really healthy culture at the moment, and it's what you want.
What about the premiership talk? There's a lot of people saying that Melbourne can now genuinely contend for the premiership. Does that give you tingles or does that give you a caution?
I'm not too sure. It's both exciting and also a little bit, a little bit cautious. Like, we've just loved how we're playing footy at the moment. We're in some good form. We want to keep that going for as long as possible. The competition's so close at the moment. You know, with Sydney's win on Friday night, and there's another close one with the Dogs and North, so the competition is just so close at the moment. You've got to be on your game every week. So, you lose 1 week and you might find yourself out of the eight. It's that tight. So we've just got to keep going on and try to keep that form.
sorry, Jack, without Jonesy in the team last night, your co-captain, obviously, did you feel that sort of added responsibility to take the game by the throat in that last quarter, despite the sore shoulder?
Oh, not really. You know, it was a massive out having Nathan not in there, but we played our system and everyone has got their role and everyone was really clear on their role and confident. You know, not having Nathan there, we'll be able to get the job done. You know, we've had key personnel out all year and we've just been able to find a way to win and compete. So, you know, it was a massive blow not having Nathan there, but we knew we'd be able to fill his shoes.
You touched on before, mate, there's been a lot of close games and we've seen that this year, this weekend alone. But how much having guys like Lewis, well, I saw Hibbert here the other week make an amazing spoil against Collingwood in the dying seconds of the game. Just that experience around now with a few of those inclusions, yeah, this year's been seems to have been really important.
Yeah, those older boys have been huge for us. You know, Geordie and also Hibbert, Melksham coming in. They've been enormous, and it's just those clutch moments. But also, just the younger boys and they're learning. Like we had a couple of close games early in the year against, you know, Freo, and lost a couple of tough ones. But the boys took some really clear learnings out of that, and to the coach's credit, taught it pretty well. And then when you find yourselves in those situations, you know, this time of the year, you're able to execute what you might not have in those close ones at the start of the year.
Where did you rate that win in your time at the footy club, Jack?
Oh, it was huge. You know, I've never beaten West Coast or won in Western Australia since I've been at the footy club. So, yeah, certainly a big one. But, yeah, we've got a few hoodoos at the footy club and we've done a good job this year of ticking a few of those boxes. So hopefully we can just keep it going and keep the momentum.
Now, Tommy McDonald got a massive hang taken on him, Jack, a few weeks ago, and I believe he copped a fair bit of angst. Has the goal that he kicked last night superseded? Is the strut come back in or not?
Oh, I don't think so, because Howie's mask only played on Fox Footy and all the TV channels for the rest of Tom's life, and I don't think that goal will get too much vision in a couple of weeks. So I think Howie's still got one over him.
Hey, Jack, have you spoken to Clayton Oliver? He was obviously involved in that scuffle at halftime and dropped to the ground after copping that clip to the chin. Have you spoken to him about that incident, or what was your view of that moment?
I haven't spoken to Clayton directly about the incident. I know he was having a frustrating day. He got tagged and did a really good job in terms of what actually happened. I didn't really say it and I haven't discussed it at all.
How would you explain his toughness? I mean, obviously, he's a very brave player. There's a lot of staging talk. I think that probably goes a bit too far.
Yeah, I mean, Clayton is an absolute competitive beast. He's proven it all year, and it's his second year of football. So I certainly don't doubt his toughness. Issues from my side. No.
I think we'll agree with you in here. Before we let you go, Jack, any time for Pokemon lately or not?
They've just released a new gym update at the moment, so I've jumped back on board and having a bit of a look around on the Pokemon Go.
Good on you, mate. You enjoy your afternoon with a bit of Pokemon, and we'll speak to you soon. Congratulations for the win by you and the Melbourne Footy Club last night. He's already gone to play Pokemon, Jack Vine. He came onto the Rush Hour a couple of years ago when I was doing it.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Well, and he started telling me all about this new game called Pokemon before anyone had ever mentioned it before. Loves it. Absolutely loves his Pokemon.
You'd be into your Pokemon, Rosie.
The boys were at one stage. It was huge.
Was it?
Huge. Jesse Hogan used to go for a walk and walk about 5K, just walking Pokemon.
What about when he rolled up to training on the skateboard? Did you have a word to him about that or not?
He actually skateboarded to... I think Robbie Jackson, who was our fitness bloke, took him to the airport. And I said, oh, Robbie, did you go and pick him up? He said, no. He said he was going to get his own way there. And Robbie was out the front of the house. And his bag behind his skateboard. And he was skateboarding to Robbie Jackson's house. So that was a little bit of a good... But, Jesse, can, when you're playing, well, you can do what you want to do, Brownie, can't
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
The floor is yours, Big Daddy.
Thanks, Howie. Hey, the AFLX story continues to attract a lot of opinion and debates over how much clubs and players will be invested in this sort of novelty series in the week before the finals. What we can tell you is that Nat Fyfe has emerged as one of the key figures in this competition. So as we understand it, the AFL wants the Brownlow medalist to basically be the headline act of this whole sort of this competition. You know, the seven aside, abridged rules, tournament, really, fast, effective.
Who pays the wages?
Well, it's got to be the AFL. Yeah, and they're going to have to be huge.
And when's it supposed to be played, Jay-Z?
In the week before the finals. So that pre-finals bye, Roosey, when everyone's having the rest. I think last year they had the women's game, which rated very well. So the teams who don't participate in the finals, they would be the only ones to participate in this AFLX series. Now, so far, the reaction from all the players in the clubs has been very guarded. If they're going to play in that, you know, risk injury, etc., they're going to have to be well remunerated. And as we stand at the moment, Nat Fyfe from Fremantle is a key figure in this. They are keen to get his signature to be almost the face of this
competition. So remunerated, let's ballpark figures. People want to know figures.
Oh, it would have to be more than 10 grand, I would have thought.
I would have thought it'd have to be around 50 plus.
50 plus, really?
Well, yeah. The clubs aren't going to be happy playing. So
exactly
if you lose Nath Fyfe in a sevens game of football with an ACL.
Who hasn't played much footy
this
year.
I know Ross Lyon reasonably well, and I can tell you he won't be that happy.
10 grand.
Oh, sort of per game, I'd imagine. Something like from a player perspective, yeah.
Some of these players earn $1 million a year and you're asking them to front up in their holiday period for...
Well, Jay-Z's not asking for any. Don't attack the poor kid. He's just come in to discuss...
So this has obviously been going on for a while, though, Jay-Z.
It's not Jay-Z's idea.
Yeah.
But this has been going on for a while, a discussion, has it? Because it sort of hit the AFL community by surprise.
Yeah, for more than a year. Yeah, they've been talking about
so
it.
So the clubs have been aware of it or not?
Oh, I don't think they have been across at all. I think it's been very internal discussion.
Throw that money at former players.
I have a listen, Cash Brown.
Well, that is part of it. That is part of it. Clearly, like the Brent Harvey types, recently retired players might be a part of it. It's a sort of.
I don't think you can do it with current players. I think you would have to get
a legend series.
I think you'd have to get. Let's say there's going to be some players, Brownie, that retire at the end of this year.
Yep.
Give them 10 grand each to play, 20 grand each to play. You can't have current players playing in a series like that. There's too much to lose from a club point of view. Unless the AFL says, well, we're going to give you $1 million each club to do it or whatever it is. Because you can't afford to lose a significant player in a series like that.
And it would be a bit of a mockery if there's absolutely no contact, no pace in the game. Like if it's just a kick around.
Yeah.
You know, who's going
to
be interested?
Imagine if they
that?
Went out after the duck and just said to the duck, we want you to headline this.
He might be more your post-game style situation, I think, the Duck. But the AFL's a well-organised operation. They're not just throwing these ideas up without thinking about it, Clarkie. They will have thought about all these ideas we're discussing now. They would have plans and situations in place to get around that. Again, when new ideas are suggested, someone suggested 2020 cricket 15 years ago, and their blokes pile on and say, well, it's a load of rubbish. So you've got to be careful just whacking these ideas before we actually see the way it's going to be run.
Are the AFL doing it because they don't want someone to come in and do that before they do?
Well, I think they're doing it, reading between the lines and hearing what Simon Lethlean had to say, that a lot of it is because they want to expand the game overseas, and it's hard overseas to get 36 players. It's hard to get a ground big enough. So I think, Jay-Z, a big part of the push is a smaller game, a transportable game on a ground that's a lot smaller, therefore can be played in other areas.
Yeah, but that makes sense. But why not put it in the time when the players are actually here? So why not put it in part of their training process? So week one next year of the pre-season competition is a seven-a-side tournament while the players are playing, while the players are preparing. It's not, and then you're going to get a physical contest because it will be part of their preparation. I don't have a problem with necessarily the concept, and you're absolutely right. The AFL marketing, Gil McLaughlin, they're smarter than what we are sitting around the table in terms of the reasons. But don't put it in a time when it puts players in jeopardy. Put it in a format where the product can be on show, be the best product, and it's part of the players' preparation for the season.
What I do know, Jay-Z, like is that a former player, Adam Contessa, used to play for the Bulldogs, and also Peter Jess, who was a great manager, went to the AFL, I reckon it was a couple of years ago, with this idea, and they took it to the networks, and they couldn't quite get the funding or the network support for it. So it has been around a while, so maybe the AFL want to get in before anybody else does it.
Number two?
It's a good point, Brownie. Hey, Simon Goodwin is going to be a big talking point there this week. Of course, you passed the baton over to the great man, Roosie. The success of this succession plan is really going to be in the spotlight because he has taken to it absolutely seamlessly with Melbourne eyeing a top four berth. Looking at it now, I mean, you must be so proud of the way that whole partnership worked, because clearly last year you gave him more responsibility, but you just must be so proud of him at the moment and how he's guided this Melbourne team.
Oh, absolutely. Look, it staggers me that more clubs don't do it. I mean, and I understand why, because you've got to have a senior coach that's prepared to hand it on first and foremost. But it is very difficult for assistant coaches to get the... We heard Lepper made a really good point before, and when he spoke about going from assistant coach to senior coach, then going back down again. So it's very, very difficult. So full credit to Glenn Bartlett and Peter Jackson for taking on board. And it's a collective, as I said. I mean, you've got great coaches there. Simon Goodwin had a great opportunity. He's taken it to another level. He's done an outstanding job. And I'm surprised as an industry it hasn't happened more.
Question without notice, and maybe a difficult one for you, but with Melbourne going so well now and people talking about finals and potential grand finals, is there any part of you that thinks, wow, I wish I was still coaching that footy club?
No, look, it's funny because Goody asked me the question, and Glenn Bartlett, I went to a Melbourne function last Friday, and Glenn Bartlett said that he had some reservations, you know, and asked me at the time, Roosie, what happens if, you know, we're just on the cusp of finals? I said, I'm going to give it away. Goody asked me the same question. Goody said to me, look, yeah, my concern a little bit is, you know, what happens. I said, I'm here, and this was my plan. This is what I want to do. So there's no part of me at all that says, I wish I was there. Other than the fact I love the club, I love the players, I love Simon Goodwin. That's the only part of me. But he's doing a terrific job as a standalone coach. We had it in place, and he deserves all the credit.
See, that's when you do yoga and meditation. That is the way you look at the life of the world, Brownie. There's none in you. There's no negatives. He just goes and...
I'll give you a negative.
Go on.
The first time I ever did yoga and meditation was a Thursday night at Kane Johnson's house. He was into all that sort of stuff. And right. We played Melbourne the following Friday night. 24 hours later, meditation my first time. Broke my leg and just about ended my career the next night. So I've never done it again, Mark.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.